Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, March 23rd. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Abortion rights advocates are asking a court to block three abortion restriction laws without going to trial. As Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports, attorneys for the state are also asking for a speedy ruling, but for the laws to stand.
Peter Maudlin is an attorney representing the state's only clinic that provides procedural abortions and an abortion rights nonprofit. He argued a recent Wyoming Supreme Court decision that struck down two near-total abortion bans means the state has a burden of proof for showing why the restrictions should stand. Those restrictions include a mandatory ultrasound and waiting period, and new regulations for the clinic he represents.
There is no problem here that needs solving. The statutes at issue are a solution in search of a problem.
But Donovan Burton, a lawyer for the state, said the court needed to look at the legal restrictions the legislature was attempting to impose through those laws and not rely as much on scientific factual analysis.
What this is about is regulating facilities that perform elective abortions.
The judge didn't rule from the bench, but a decision is expected soon. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
A new civics lab is now open in the State Capitol Extension Building. Wyoming News Now's Grace Swanky reports it's an interactive exhibit teaching kids about the first five articles of the Wyoming Constitution.
Students can complete challenges, stamp their civic passports, and learn about the democratic process. Andy Pannell, Civic Education Program Manager at the University of Wyoming, tells me one thing that's special about Wyoming is the support for civic education.
I think the Civics Lab does a wonderful job of trying to help impart what's important about government and about what you ought to know if you're going to be an enlightened citizen.
The lab also explains the three branches of government, with one of the exhibits highlighting previous members of the legislature.
That's Wyoming News Now's Grace Swanky reporting. Recently released data show that 37 people in Wyoming died in the workplace in 2024. That's the latest data from the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services. Transportation incidents remain the most lethal. About half of the workplace deaths reported in 2024 happened during highway crashes, pedestrian vehicular incidents, aircraft incidents, and water vehicle accidents. By sector, natural resources and mining saw the most deaths. 2024 saw a decline in workplace deaths from 2023, but 37 is still on the higher end for the past decade. Wildfires are a top concern in our region, but as the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, another hazard, hail, is quietly hitting homeowners' pocketbooks.
Colorado has some of the highest home insurance premiums in the Mountain West, and a new state report finds hail, not wildfires, is the major reason why.
Hail is really the core name of the game.
That's Michael Conway, Colorado's insurance commissioner. His office released the report, which shows hail accounts for anywhere from a quarter to more than half of insurance premiums in the state. Population growth and more severe and frequent storms are driving the increasing costs.
It used to be a relatively concentrated few months. Now it's a good 6-7 months that we at least potentially experience hail storms.
Hail and wind are also major drivers of insurance costs in Wyoming and New Mexico. But fewer homes in those states are in high-risk areas. Wildfires, meanwhile, continue to affect where homeowners can find coverage at all. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Researchers have identified a surprising crop that has potential as a future fuel source, cactus pears. It's a plant that grows across the region, including Wyoming, and could save a lot of water while helping power a hotter, drier Mountain West. Caleb Radel has more.
Scientists at the University of Nevada, Reno have received a $9 million grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to find out whether cactus pear can become a viable biofuel crop. Over the next 5 years, the team will test hundreds of cactus pear varieties at sites from Arizona to Florida, measuring how much biomass they produce under different rainfall conditions. They're also studying the plant's genetics and the microbes around its roots to better understand how it survives with so little water, says lead scientist John Cushman.
we want to scale up where we can plant this. And being a desert adapted plant, it can be grown in places where other biofuel feedstocks cannot be grown.
If successful, Cushman says Cactus Pear could help farmers produce renewable fuels like ethanol and biodiesel while using significantly less water. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on March 22, 1902, Rocky Mountain Bell Telephone established service in Casper with 49 customers. On March 22, 1915, the Casper School Board accepted an offer from the Carpenters Union to erect playground equipment for city schools for free. On March 23, 1991, cell phone service came to Park County. On March 24, 1958, it was reported that ex-convict Art Orcutt overcame losing his arm to continue the flourishing greeting card business he had that was previously based inside federal prison. According to the University of Wyoming American Heritage Center, on March 27, 1892, the trustees approved the university's official seal. And the Gillette News Record reported on March 29, 1997, that the victims of a kidnapping outside of Gillette were suing their captors in district court. The kidnappers, who called themselves Bonnie and Clyde, no, not that Bonnie and Clyde, had already been sentenced to heavy fines and long prison terms. But the victims said they deserved at least $5 million more on top of restitution. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What once major U.S. retailer had its roots in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, beef production is kind of a big deal in Wyoming. Just how many cattle are there in the state? According to the most recent federal assessment, there are about 1.2 million head of domestic bovines in Wyoming, many more than the humans who populate the state. Congratulations to Rachel Garcia, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning, the start of the first full week of spring. Enjoy the day and join me again tomorrow.